WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning and welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Mr. Roger Weiss, and we are joined in studio by state champion climber Sherman Panama football team. Coach Ty Harper has brought his boys in this morning. We're going to talk to them in just a little bit and celebrate the state championship. Of course, today is also the big banquet that Dick Gallagher puts on. In fact, that's where our Tom Prince is right now, helping Dick out. I hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas as I did. Feeling healthier and healthier every week, Raj. This thing is kind of slowly taking its time. I think I got about another month left from what I'm being told. So how was your Christmas, buddy?
Oh, fine. Santa Claus, as usual. She was pretty good to me.
You mean he brought you coal?
She? She was pretty good to me.
Okay.
By the way, what are you sucking up for? What's this Mr. Roger all of a sudden?
I'm just being nice for a change.
For a change. Okay, as long as you emphasize for a change.
No, and
thank you.
If you don't behave, I'll chastise you during the break. You know how that goes.
Oh, why wait till break? Come on now. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, all you listeners. Enjoy being here. Hope your holiday season was, other than not being white.
Which was okay with me.
Which for a lot of people, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't complain.
50-degree weather?
That's great.
Gee, there were motorcycles out on Christmas Day, Anthony. That's awesome.
That brought back some memories of one year. I remember I rode at least a couple of days every month out of the year, and it was amazing. Anything for news and notes, Raj?
I have one thing, and we definitely deserve to give credit to our good friend, the athletic director at the Kenmore East and West High Schools, Brett Banker. He received a non-athletic award and tribute. If you notice, they have in a Sunday paper, they have business people who are, given recognition for accomplishments. He got one from the National Interscholastic Athletic Administration Association. Say that three times real fast.
I can't even say it once.
He was recognized for earning his certification as a Master Athletic Administrator. He had to demonstrate exemplary knowledge, contributions, and ongoing professional development in the field of interscholastic administration. I know he's a big fan of the Inside High School Sports Radio Show. He always thanks me every time I see him for giving the kids recognition. He's probably listening. So, Brett,
Great guy. Once again,
congratulations.
Congratulations, Brett. Well deserved. I think next month we're going to have some news regarding get an update, let's say, on the banning of youth football.
You had to bring that up.
I know, it gets me fired up as well. Spoke to Ray Turpin, and we're hoping to have some news as to where we are as far as progress is going and things that we are doing to fight this ridiculous ban. I think it's either next week or the week after the subcommittee will vote. And as I said before, it looks like they have the votes to kick this up to the state, in which the state lawmakers will vote, and hopefully it gets voted down. So contact your senators and your assemblymen and voice your concern. You know, save youth football.
Okay, one more thing, or actually two quick things I want to bring up under news and notes. Last week we're talking about Danielle Haskell.
Yeah.
And whether, her viral infection would hamper her as far as getting breaking the state all-time career scoring record. Well, obviously she recovered. I think she averaged over 40 points in the two games down at Olean. And I did the arithmetic, not the math, the arithmetic. She, assuming that they play a 21 game schedule, being 20 games and at least one playoff game, she would have 15 games left. She would have to average 16 points a game to break that record. For Danielle, it's probably a half, 16 points.
So very doable.
The other thing I want to bring up, Tom Prince last week alluded to Cortina Smith from Hutch Tech.
Mm-hmm.
They, and I talked about City Honors last week. They played North Tonawanda and Tonawanda in the Tonawanda basketball tournament yesterday. Both Hutch Tech and City Honors won the semifinals.
Right.
So they will be playing Monday night at Tonawanda High School head-to-head. Not too many girls' games going on Monday. For you girl basketball junkies out there, Tonawanda High School Monday evening would be the place to be.
Oh, I forgot to mention, you had mentioned Brett Banker, Ken West, in a tight game over Ken East in boys basketball. Looked like that was a nail-biter going back and forth. Great game.
Those are way all the games should be that way.
Yeah, they should. They should. All right, our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. If you would like to nominate a coach, simply go to livefit.com, nominate the coach, tell us why you are nominating that coach, and congratulations, this week's winner, Newfane Wrestling Coach Matt Lingle. They are off to a 3-0 start in league matches, 14-3 overall, winners of 2 out of 3 tournaments. So Newfane Wrestling making some noise this year.
Dennis DiPaolo is paying attention to that, I guarantee you.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of wrestling fans. And I want to give you a program update. Speaking of wrestling, we are going to have Matt O'Rourke on pretty soon. Center Court cannot make it until the 18th, so we've got him locked up for that day. We apologize. We wanted to get to boys basketball a lot sooner than that, but Center Court, he loves coming on the show, and I don't want to take that away from him, so we're going to do that on the 18th. We are going to have in the upcoming weeks boys hockey, girls hockey, and wrestling. So that's all coming up in the next few weeks. I know it's wintertime, but these weeks are going to go by fast. And I tell you,
you have the 4 weeks in January. Are you just about tied up right now with what you said between wrestling, girls hockey, boys hockey, boys basketball, and I suppose if we don't get bowling in there, we're going to hear about it from Coach Kaplan.
Yeah.
But by that time, it's February, and we got to start updating you on the basketball, the possible seating is and all that. It goes by fast. And you think it's going by fast now, guys, you in studio, wait till you get to be my age.
And we're about, second week of February is the seedings, right around there? It's usually around the second week.
It might be the third because of the calendar, the way the calendar falls. But, yeah, it's just like that. Once these holiday tournaments get done and most of the non-league basketball schedules will be complete, now you're getting into predominantly league games. These are the games that set up the PowerPoints to see where you're seated in the playoffs. And, seeding can be crucial when it depends on getting to Buff State and or I'll say Ken West or Clarence, depending on where the girls play their semis. They only play finals at Buff State. They don't do semis at Buff State. And then this year, the girls' semis, the Far West Regionals, will be in probably Brockport, somewhere in Section 5, but the boys' Far West Regionals will be at Buff State.
All right. Great. All right, as I mentioned, we have Clymer Sherman Panama football team in studio, state champions again. And joining us right now is head coach Ty Harper. Coach, good morning. Welcome to the program again.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We love celebrating state champions. Now, I guess the first question I have for you, you win the championship last year. You got target on your back this year, plus high expectations. What were you telling your team going into training camp this year? How did you keep their heads focused?
Well, I think the kids really did a great job themselves of focusing on a new set of goals. And the biggest question that we were getting probably starting in December of last year was, can you do it again? Can you repeat? And, we just tried to stay focused on getting better every week. We had a lot of pieces to replace, the entire starting offensive line, our front seven on defense. So, we had our hands full in terms of getting ourselves prepared for the season, and we just took a week-by-week approach to things, and the kids did a great job.
With that much turnover as a coach, how did you feel going into training camp?
Yeah, I think we were optimistic with the pieces that we had coming back. We had some really really accomplished players coming back. But at the same time, anytime you lose as many talented kids as we graduated from last season, there were holes to fill. And, we had to work as hard as we could as a coaching staff to get guys ready. And, during camp, we worked really hard every day in August to try and put together a two deep, and we had some younger guys filling in, and they did a great job, and the veteran players kind of showed the way of how things should be done, and it all came together for us.
Well, if you think about it, your backups last year that stepped into starting roles, look who they faced in practice every week.
Sure.
The guys who were starting who won a state championship. So obviously it made them better. And it kind of snowball effects, and you keep doing that, and that's how you build a program year after year, because those younger guys are getting the really important reps against guys who are experienced and who have excelled.
Sure. Yeah, I think the foundation of our program really has been competition, and getting guys to compete year round, whether it's other sports that they play. A lot of our guys play basketball or wrestle, run track in the spring, or baseball. So we've got a lot of really well rounded athletes, and we've been fortunate the last couple of years. We've got guys that want to start getting after it in the springtime. We did a lot of 7-on-7 work this past year. We were in, I think, 3 or 4 different tournaments. We do a 7-on-7 league. So I think, again, like you said, that competition that we've been able to cultivate with our kids, not just at practice but year-round, I think has really paid dividends for us.
After winning the championship, your first championship, did you notice an increase in kids that wanted to come out and play?
Our numbers have been pretty steady the last few years, but the big difference that I've seen is with the younger kids in school. I think we've got a lot of middle school age kids that are excited about football. We run a youth camp for kids aged grades 3 through 8 in the summertime, and we had our best participation that we ever had. I think we had close to 50 kids this year for our summer camp, and I think the largest group that we had before that was like 35. So I think with the younger kids, football certainly becoming more popular, and that's great to see.
Did you hear that, New York State? Did you hear what Coach just said? Keep that in mind. Roger.
No, I was just curious. I guess it'd be a two-part question. Number one, what was your reaction when you found out about both Frewsburg and Maple Grove this year going to
eight man
football? Yeah, 11. Yeah, okay. I before E after. Okay, anyway. And number two, what does that look like next year, both for their schools and how your school with the combined, three schools? Is there any updates on that? Is it up in the air? Should I have kept my big mouth shut? No, just like I say, the thing is,
I told you
shocked me when, Frewsburg and Maple Grove, wasn't there some way they could combine? Do they dislike each other that much? I don't know. I could go on and on.
Inquiring minds want to know,
yeah.
Roger.
So, in a nutshell, if you could take an answer that would take you 2 hours and about 30 seconds, we would appreciate it.
Well, I can't speak for those programs, but I know that for us, I think that we're kind of the blueprint now for successfully merging football programs, and it hasn't been an easy process, but we've had a lot of people work really hard. The guys sitting at this table, certainly a huge part of that, but even our administrators, our athletic directors, our transportation people, I think we've kind of worked the kinks out here, where going to eight-man football for us would be taking 5 steps backwards. I think that if you give kids their choice, I think that most kids would prefer to play the 11-man game, and merging didn't work out for those two districts, and I can't speak on their behalf to say why it didn't work out, but CSP is here to stay. We're not going anywhere.
That's good news. Absolutely good news. Well, you mentioned two gentlemen that are sitting here. We have assistant coaches Chris Payne and Dave Bottomer. Guys, I want to ask you guys, as assistants, Coach Harper mentioned the amount of work that you had to put in as, getting the kids ready. What extra steps did you guys take as assistants in coaching positions?
Well, I was I'm the O-line coach and the defensive coach, so I had a lot of holes.
We need to hang out.
Yeah, I had a lot of holes to fill
as
far as that goes.
Because defense?
Defense.
Oh, I thought because you were saying something about him being old. Shame on
you. No, that's his brother, Frank.
Yeah, he's old. No, but we had a lot of holes to fill, like you said, on the offensive and defensive line. And one of the guys here, Luke Rader, was one of the guys that was going to have to step up and be a major leader on our line. But it was a big task, and we had some bumps and bruises on along the way. In training camp, we gave some kids some opportunities, and then we had to go a different direction. We brought some younger kids up, and line really solidified after that. So it was a great offseason, though. We were all involved. All the coaches were involved, and we kids are involved and going to camps and things like that. So I think it was kids took the burden on their shoulders and said, "Neil, we're going to do it again, no matter who we got here." So,
Dave, were you noticing the competition early that has stepped up as far as battling for positions?
Yeah, we've seen that the last few years, though. This isn't just something that happened because we won a state. We won states, I think, because of that, which has been going on for a while. Now it's increased, definitely. And even younger guys know that they get a shot, you know. And being a merged program, I mean, one of the hurdles you had to come over, and people don't always realize it, I think, is, you know, realizing that we don't care which school which kid comes from, you know. And the kids have bought in, and they know that regardless of their age and stuff, if they have the ability, they get the opportunity, and they got to make the most of it. Like Coach said, you know, we replaced someone on the O-line with a sophomore this year, you know, and some bumps and bruises along the way, but that was one of the things that got solidified. And so competition's great. I mean, we preach it all the time, and the kids have bought in, and it works. It's a good thing to have. It's not something to be afraid of.
Is it difficult, you know, because you're dealing, you know, there's three schools here, and getting to know up-and-coming kids?
Yeah, it's a lot different compared to coaching kids you see every day or you teach. You know, and I think early, I know for me personally, working on those relationships and figuring a kid out, you know, because not every kid's the same, you know that. So you've got to figure that out as quick as you can and adjust. And so your relationship with each kid's going to be different. How you can interact with them, how you coach them up, you know, how you deal with some things. I mean, it's hard.
Well, because the one thing about coaching, at least for me, is knowing how I'm going to coach this kid, because as you said, each one is different. Some they need to be pushed. Some you gotta pull back, and and it's how you interact with them as a coach that could be the difference. That's got a challenge again when you're picking from three different schools and kids that you may not be familiar with as they've grown and come in.
Well, the help with that, too, is the three of us as coaches have a lot of really good communication. And so if I know something's going on with a player in my building and I know, you know, Coach Payne's, hey, to go, or if I've got a player, you know, that I'm dealing with in my building on school, a football issue would be better dealt with by these two. So we're very open to the egos have got to go away.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and you're talking to Coach before with merge program. The ego, you can't have to really gel, and we've been able to do that.
It's, you know, it's strange that you bring that up, because I had a conversation recently with a friend of mine who coaches, and he had to come in after years of being a head coach, now being an assistant coach, and that was such a huge adjustment for him. He had difficulties with it, and it can be difficult for us. You're right. Learning as a coach to put egos aside is huge. Guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to know some of the players in studio. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Roger Weiss. And we are also joined by Kyrie Demos of the Niagara Gazette, who has dropped in. He's going to be asking some questions as well. Clymer, Sherman, Panama, state champions, Coach Harper, Coach Payne, Coach Bottomer in studio talking to you about their great season, and a huge congratulations to them. Roger, I'm kind of upset at you. I thought you were going to bring in a cheese sausage pepperoni today.
I thought you were supposed to bring them in. Last year I bought it in. Oh, no, maybe it was my turn. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well. Speaking of Coach Payne, did I ever tell you, Anthony, that Coach Payne's father was a Kensington grad?
Get out of here.
I never did tell you. I apologize. I should have told you much earlier.
Is there anybody that didn't go to Kensington besides me?
Nobody that counts, right?
He will always find a connection to Kensington. All right, Coach Harper, let's get to know some of the kids. Who did you bring in today?
All right, so from left to right, we've got John Swabik, who's kind of a jack of all trades for us, running back, receiver, outside linebacker, defensive back, returns punts, returns kicks, kind of does it all for us.
Sells popcorn at halftime.
Sells popcorn at halftime, you got it. Next to him is Lucas Rader, who's a two-way starter for us on the offensive and defensive line. He's a team captain for us. Next to him is Garrett Hinsdale, who has been our starting quarterback for the last 3 years. He's also our fill-in punt returner and safety if we need him to. And then you guys already met Coach Payne and Coach Bodemer on the other side of them.
All right, let's start with John, jack of all trades, so to speak. First of all, congratulations. If you had to point out one point in the season that may have been a turning point or maybe pointed you in the direction or given you the idea that you guys are going to be able to do it again, what would that be?
I think that when we beat Franklin Ellicottville the second time we played them, because they were I think second in the state after Tioga, and I think we kind of just proved to ourselves that our work is paying off and that we could do it.
What are some of the things that now, you know, the season's over, you guys are headed to the banquet, you got a lot of younger guys that are going to come up. What are some of the things that you're going to tell them as they come up through the program?
We got big shoes to fill again, and we got to create our own legacy. I mean, as long as they work hard, we all work hard, we can do it every year.
Kyrie?
Yeah, just wanted to ask a little bit about that Franklinville matchup. You guys took a loss to them the first time around. You know, what do you think was the biggest difference in being able to, you know, turn the tide and be able to get a win the second time around?
I think the second time we played them, we just wanted it more than them, and we were more aggressive. And the first time we kind of got.
Did you take them lightly the first time?
Yeah, we definitely did, because we came off like a huge win, big win off Silver Creek, and I think we thought we were gonna just breeze through the season just like we did last year. And it was kind of a wake-up call.
So it was a great lesson that you guys learned. For and sure. That's the important thing, Coach. They learned. And when you can do that, you're in good shape.
For sure.
I'm guessing that's probably the best thing that happened to you this year. You realize, mm-hmm. hey, we have to play week by week and all that. And you were obviously ready for them at NERF, formerly Ralph. Very impressive. Very impressive.
Thank you.
What are your plans after high school?
I plan on going to college and probably running track or something. I don't know, but I still got another year.
Yeah, he's only a junior, Anthony. So.
You start thinking about it now. Any colleges that are interested?
When you were that age, you knew what you wanted to do for the rest of your life.
I barely knew how to tie my shoes. Come on, give me a break. I went to Burgard. any colleges like you know that you're thinking that you might want to go to?
I've been emailing back and forth with quite a few colleges, and I got a couple visits scheduled, like with University of Rhode Island and
cool.
Purdue and all that.
Whoa, that's really cool.
Remember back in the day when you used to email the colleges back and forth to see what...
Yeah, why won't you let me on campus? I never understood that one.
Anthony, I was implying there was no email back in that day.
No, there wasn't.
Hey, excuse me, Tony. I think John's being real modest. He won the states in pentathlon last spring, and he also competed in California. It was California?
Yeah.
At the national decathlon, and came in second nationally. So
too cool.
Yeah, he's a pretty good athlete.
That's
so
awesome.
Would that be a concentration in college as a possibility to be, at least be a candidate for the Olympics in probably 2032 or something like that?
Yeah, I would love that. That would be
wicked. All right, here's one question. It's something I'm going to ask all of you guys. Social media, YouTube, video games, or TV, as far as entertainment goes?
Video games.
Social media.
Social media?
TV? What's TV?
We know what it is. I'm discovering, you know, with my kids, they would rather be on YouTube than watch something that's on TV. I mean, for my son, unless it's a football game or, you know, an NFL top 10, 100 or whatever, they're watching YouTube.
Do any of you guys know what a paid telephone is?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, how do you text with this thing?
Yeah. The reason I ask, Walden Pond Park, on their building, whatever it is there, the concession stands, ladies' room, men's room, and all that, they actually have one on the wall. And I have been there for softball a few years. Kids actually walk by and look at this thing, scratch their head like, what is that monstrosity?
So, I like when they look at a rotary phone and you're like, how do you call? How do you dial with this thing?
How do you text?
Yeah, how do you text? All right, let's bring in Lucas. Where's Lucas? All right, Lucas.
He knows what a paid phone is.
I'm impressed. I really am.
Stories.
Most gratifying, outside of the championship, most gratifying part of the season?
Probably beating Franklinville, Ellicottville. Yeah, I'd have to say. Really just that instituted our belief in ourselves and really just brought back our mojo, so to speak.
Fair to say that would have been a de facto state championship game?
Yeah.
Yeah, we knew how strong they were coming into the season, and they beat us pretty good in week three. So I think these guys wanted it pretty badly at the stadium.
How would you describe team chemistry?
Really good so far. At the beginning, we had a lot of new guys who didn't really know what was going on, but the older guys really helped them through everything and really helped them learn the game a lot better. And that really just led to, like, because we've always really been a family. So that's what where like our strength comes from, I guess you could kind of say. So,
is there anything that you guys did as far as team bonding? You know, I've heard so many times in the past. You know, some teams the night before a game they'll go out and get Chinese food or something like that, or go to the movies. Is there anything that you guys did as far as for team bonding?
Yeah, we had a couple team nights. We went out to some Chinese buffets, some restaurants.
Oh, I nailed it on the Chinese
food. Oh yeah. Very popular.
Speaking of chemistry, I have to ask for you, the players that have, play more than one sport, and they're from different schools. What kind of reaction is it when, all of a sudden you go to another school for another sport, and your teammate on the football team is on the other side of half court or the volleyball net or whatever? Kind of reaction does that entail?
I would say, it's a little bit different. Sometimes our emotions can get the best of us. There was a couple incidents last year where we were football teammates and brothers, and we get out of the basketball court, and you want to kill each other. So,
It's great competing against family and friends.
And
I'll see you next year during the football practices. Yeah. We'll settle it then and there.
Yeah. So it's a little bit different, but it's good competition, and we're always family at the end at every competition that we compete.
I was gonna say after the game, then it's back to hugs and high fives.
And let's go get a cheese sausage and pepperoni pizza.
Right. Yeah.
There you go again with the pizza, Raj.
Who's the one that originated it, Anthony?
Still your fault.
Who's the one that originated it, Anthony?
I did.
Fess up.
Kyrie?
Just wanted to ask you, being the quarterback of the team the last couple years, especially from last year to this year, what do you think was the biggest difference that you saw from the two teams? And also, too, just being able to affect the game so much, obviously, as the quarterback. What type of onus did you take on yourself going into your senior season?
So for your first question, I would say last year we were stacked last year. We had a ton of athletes coming in. We had athletes on the offensive line who could have played, outside linebacker we had better athletes at outside linebacker. We just had athletes all over the place. We kind of just like breezed through the season. We really didn't have a close game. Our closest game was 25-20 against Maple Grove. Week six. So that wasn't even towards the end of the season. We just kind of blew everybody out of the water. And this year, we had to work a little bit harder. After that week three loss, we kind of had to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, what do we have to do to get this done? We worked hard every week. We really focused on beating FE at New Era. And then, I really thought that we could do it. After we beat Tioga, we were down 17-13 or 27-13, excuse me, at halftime, and there's people in the locker room crying, and we just had to build ourselves up, and we got that done, and I knew that we could do it at the Dome. And to your second question, You know, I'd say going into my senior season, you know, I felt like I had to be more of a leader this year than I did last year because, you know, we had leaders all on the field last year, you know, with Derek Eklund and Michael Beeman and, you know, Elliot Jackson on the line. So I think this year, you know, you had Cam Barmore and you had John, and that was about it, you know, and you had Lou Rader, and you had to build those younger guys up, and that's really what was the hardest task for me as a leader and for the rest of the guys, was to build those younger guys up when they didn't have any experience at the varsity level.
I want to go back to Lucas here before we come back to Derek. One of the most important parts or aspects of football is training. Mm-hmm. How was the numbers going into the weight room for the off season? Because in my opinion, if you're not hitting the weight room, you're not winning football games.
No. Yeah, it comes a lot physically. Coach Payne actually has, because we have this competition going between the three schools of who gets the most off season, and Coach Payne always wins it, which sucks. But yeah. But yeah, we have a lot of what I've seen over the past 2 years, a lot more kids have gotten the off season and have taken it as serious as it really should be taken, because I mean, in my experience, everything that you do in the off season, it really coincides with what you do during the season, because I mean, that strength training, that is fundamental if you're like a lineman like myself or a running whatever you are,
athlete,
jack of all trades.
Yeah, so that's really important.
Now, do you think that that's going to set the tone for the younger kids coming up, that seeing how hard you worked in the weight room and guys ahead of you, that we need to do this. Yeah. This is part of our life. This is part of growing CSP football. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that they can't just come in here and think that the mentality is all that they have. I mean, it is, but really that physical aspect of it is really important. And I hope that me working out and everybody else working out really helps institute that belief in them.
What are your plans after high school?
Hopefully go to college, go for cybersecurity.
Somewhere. Ooh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Field. Now I have to ask you, social media, YouTube, video games, or television?
Video games.
Video games? What do you like?
Everything.
Fortnite?
No. Okay, not everything.
No?
Not everything.
Madden?
Oh. No, not really, actually.
Really?
Call of Duty, though.
Okay.
I
haven't tried that one.
Oh, you should. It's very fun.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Derek and the coaches. We have Clymer Sherman Panama in studio, state champions. Awesome experience having you guys in here today. Don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. Back, one last segment of Inside High School Sports, then Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. Kyrie, did you have a question before we get called? And I have to correct, I've been calling Garrett Derek. I still have fluid behind my eardrums from this from battling pneumonia, so my apologies, my friend. I am so sorry. Go ahead, T.
So, you know, I really wanted to ask you guys, you know, obviously the last 2 years you guys have been on great runs. You know, obviously the championships are probably the most memorable, but, you know, what are some of those memorable moments from the seasons that stuck out to you guys? Even if it's, you know, one time in the locker room, someone joking around, things like that, just so those kind of moments.
You know, I would say one of my favorite moments would be when we were down at Tioga this year, and we, you know, we had guys in the locker room that kind of were emotionally unstable at that point.
Seems like the PG answer.
Yeah.
There.
And so, you know, us leaders, we had to just calm everybody down and just tell everybody, you know, we can do this thing. You know, we have the pieces to the puzzle that we can, you know, we can execute this and get this done. And then my second favorite moment, both years, was the bus ride home from States.
Okay.
I won't go much further into that. But, you know, Coach Harper has some incredible dance moves. Let's just say that.
Go, Coach!
in a nutshell, could you guys describe what exactly that ritual, whatever it is, that post-game chant?
We sing The Bear Went Over the Mountain, and I got that from a clinic when I was coaching in Panama. And Tom Herman coaches at Mercyhurst University. He's a line coach. He was a great, crazy guy. Love going to camp just to see him. But yeah, he taught us that Bear Went Over the Mountain chant, and then they have a little wing tee kind of celebration after that. So, you know, Randolph came in and they always beat us and sang, you know, We Are the Cardinals and all that song. So I wanted to have a song too when we won. So yeah, it just happened like that. And then we got together, and I just said, hey, we're going to sing after this game, because a lot of our players sung that song. And he just let me do it, and we just keep doing it all the time now.
Garrett, let me ask you this. Being the three different schools, actually, let me throw this out for all you guys. Do you find yourselves recruiting while you're in school? You know, maybe you see somebody in school, look at the size of this one. You ought to be playing football. Do you guys find yourselves in that situation?
Yeah, actually. Some kids in Sherman are very large human beings.
So calm about it,
too. They're very good at – they would be very good at football, and I'm trying to get them to get in the weight room and start, working hard so that they can play next year and be very well.
Ask Lucas Rader if he was recruited, because, I mean, he's a guy that we kind of had to work on a little bit when he was younger. John Swabek was running cross country, and Lucas was – I'm not playing football, and we try and get the best guys out for the football program. So I think it's extremely important. I think that is one of the most important things you do as a coach, is recruit your hallways and get the best athletes playing football.
Absolutely. I'm still trying to recruit. In fact, if you want to play for my Viper team next year, nfjfc.com, we could use some players. Feel free to sign up. I'd love to coach you. What was the selling point for you?
I don't know. We won two state championships. I mean, that should be enough. But now, really, just talk to them about how important football has been personally to me. And I think that it can really – I mean, it really makes a deep impact on people's lives.
You guys certainly have the bling now to show, walk around the hallways.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at all this metal on my finger. You can get one, too.
Well, I would say, if I was going to tell a kid, you should come out for football, I would tell them, the brotherhood that you are about to join is something that you won't ever forget, even when you're, no offense to anybody in this room, but when you're your guys' age, you never forget your high school, your high school football team.
I never forget my first year in Little League in 1974.
Exactly.
I'm still friends with those guys.
Right, so you don't, the brotherhood that you're about to join, is something that you won't ever forget, and that's really the main thing that
I tell
kids.
The memories that you cherish, and I tell my son that all the time. The guys that you've met, in Little League are guys that you're going to be talking to for the next 40, 50 years.
I know it hurt for Franklinville when they lost the game at the Nerf and all that, and it takes a while, but 25 years from now, you're going to run into them guys, and they're going to say they were so proud to be part of that football game. Mm-hmm. And it's like that on both sides of the wall. Mm-hmm. The emphasis being, when you get that far, there's no such thing as losers. There's a winner, and there's a runner-up. Mm-hmm. And, when you go continue with your athletic careers and all that, always keep that in mind. If you reach that level, say you only finish second in the pentathlon or decathlon instead of first, you're not a loser. You're the runner-up. At your age right now, it's hard to accept that. You will understand that when you get to be, 40 years younger than I am now, which is quite a bit away for you guys to get there. Believe me when I tell you.
Well, when you talk about memories, then when you get older, you'll have young coaches like Coach Harper saying, I remember you talking about me when I played high school. So thanks a lot, Coach. I really appreciate that.
I do remember that.
He told me that last year, and I cracked up laughing. All right, Garrett, for you, plans after high school.
I want to go play Division III college football. I have multiple schools that are interested in me, but I would like to go play at the next level, and then I would like to major in sports management. you know, and work on the, you know, I want to be in pro football, but not just on the playing side. I would like to be on the business side, you know, deal with, you know, marketing and players and contracts and stuff like that.
I remember I used to engineer live broadcasts. We had, you know, at the time, WBEN had One-on-One Sports, and we had the John Butler Show, former general manager, God rest his soul, of the Buffalo Bills. We're talking back in the heyday of the Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. And I told him I wanted to get into scouting. His advice to me was start coaching, mm-hmm. and that's when I started coaching youth football. So you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I'd like to come back like to whatever school I go to, be a GA, and you know, get on the coaching staff there and then work my way up from there.
All right. Social media, YouTube, video games, or television?
I'd say video games. The only television I really watch is ESPN, and if the Bills or Sabres are on. But I play a lot of, you know, Madden. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of a Star Wars nerd, so I play a lot of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. So. I got to go see it. But have you seen it yet?
Yes, I've seen it.
All right,
it.
Don't say it. I can't wait. Yeah. Raj.
Tony, I want to digress for a moment. I should have done it under news and notes and all that. I just want to say I was deeply saddened about the passing of former Buffalo Bill Albert DeBenyon.
Golden Wheels.
My God, he was the original hero on that team.
One of my dad's favorite players, and I remember as a little kid, that's all I would hear about was Golden Wheels DeBenyon.
He had bad hands that first year, and he worked on them. I mean, if you saw the notice in the paper, I think he has the fourth highest all-time average yards per catch in a season, probably in 1963, maybe 64, but... John Green was the backup quarterback, and he said his hands aren't very good, but this man has some golden wheels because he could pick them up and lay them down with the best of them.
Coach Harper, Coach Bottomer, Coach Payne, thank you guys for bringing the players in. Congratulations once again on a fantastic season. State champions once again. Back to work pretty soon on next year.
Thanks for having us. Go Wolfpack.
There you go. All right. Sports Talk Saturday is up next. Thank you for listening. Have a happy new year, everyone. We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports. Then Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. Kyrie, did you have a question before we get called? And I have to correct. I've been calling Garrett Derek. I still have fluid behind my eardrums from this from battling pneumonia. So my apologies, my friend. I am so sorry. Go ahead, D.
So, you know, I really wanted to ask you guys, you know, obviously the last 2 years you guys have been on great runs. You know, obviously the championships are probably the most memorable. But, you know, what are some of those memorable moments from the seasons that stuck out to you guys? Even if it's, you know, one time in the locker room, someone joking around, things like that. Just so those kind of moments.
You know, I would say one of my favorite moments would be when we were down at Tioga this year, and we, you know, we had guys in the locker room that kind of were emotionally unstable at that point.
Seems like the PG answer.
Yeah. And so, you know, us leaders, we had to just calm everybody down and just tell everybody, you know, we can do this thing. You know, we have the pieces to the puzzle that we can, you know, we can execute this and get this done. And then my second favorite moment, both years, was the bus ride home from States.
Okay.
I won't go much further into that. But, you know, Coach Harper has some incredible dance moves. Let's just say that.
Go, Coach!
In a nutshell, could you guys describe what exactly that ritual, whatever it is, that post-game chant?
We sing the Bear Went Over the Mountain, and I got that from a clinic when I was coaching in Panama. And Tom Herman coaches at Mercyhurst University. He's a line coach. He was a great, crazy guy. Love going to camp just to see him. But yeah, he taught us that Bear Went Over the Mountain chant, and then they have a little wing tee kind of celebration after that. So, you know, Randolph came in and they always beat us and sang, you know, We Are the Cardinals and all that song. So I wanted to have a song too when when we won. So yeah, it just happened like that, and then we all got together, and I just said, hey, we're gonna sing after this game, because a lot of our players sung that song, and he just let me do it, and we just keep doing it all the time now.
Garrett, let me ask you this: being the three different schools. I mean, actually, let me throw this out for all of you guys. Do you find yourselves recruiting while you're in school? You know, maybe you see somebody in school, look at the size of this one. You ought to be playing football. Do you guys find yourselves in that situation?
Yeah, actually. Some kids in Sherman are very large human beings.
So, I'm so calm about it,
They're very good at – they would be very good at football, and I'm trying to get them to get in the weight room and start working hard so that they can play next year and be very well.
Ask Lucas Rader if he was recruited, because, I mean, he's a guy that we kind of had to work on a little bit when he was younger. John Swabick was running cross country, and Lucas was not playing football. And, we try and get the best guys out for the football program. So I think it's extremely important. I think that is one of the most important things you do as a coach, is recruit your hallways and get the best athletes playing football.
Absolutely. I'm still trying to recruit. In fact, if you want to play for my Viper team next year, nfjfc.com, we could use some players. Feel free to sign up. I'd love to coach you. What was the selling point for you?
I don't know. We won two state championships. I mean, that should be enough. But now really just talk to them about how important football's been personally to me, and I think that it can really – I mean, it really makes a deep impact on people's lives.
You guys certainly have the bling now to show – walk around the hallways.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at all this metal on my finger. You can get one too.
Well, I would say, if I was going to tell a kid, you should come out for football, I would tell them, the brotherhood that you are about to join is something that you won't ever forget, even when you're, no offense to anybody in this room, but when you're your guys' age, you never forget your high school, your high school football team.
I never forget my first year in Little League in 1974.
Exactly.
I'm still friends with those guys.
Right, so you don't, the brotherhood that you're about to join, is something that you won't ever forget, and that's really the main thing that
I tell
kids.
The memories that you cherish, and I tell my son that all the time. The guys that you've met, in Little League are guys that you're going to be talking to for the next 40, 50 years.
I know it hurt for Franklinville when they lost the game at the Nerf and all that, and it takes a while, but 25 years from now, you're going to run into them guys, and they're going to say they were so proud to be part of that football game. Mm-hmm. And it's like that on both sides of the wall. Mm-hmm. The emphasis being, when you get that far, there's no such thing as losers. There's a winner, and there's a runner-up. Mm-hmm. And, when you go continue with your athletic careers and all that, always keep that in mind. If you reach that level, say you only finish second in the pentathlon or decathlon instead of first, you're not a loser. You're the runner-up. At your age right now, it's hard to accept that. You will understand that when you get to be, 40 years younger than I am now, which is quite a bit away for you guys to get there. Believe me when I tell you.
Well, when you talk about memories, then when you get older, you'll have young coaches like Coach Harper saying, I remember you talking about me when I played high school. So thanks a lot, Coach. I really appreciate that.
I do remember that.
Coach told me that last year, and I cracked up laughing. All right, Garrett, for you, plans after high school.
I want to go play Division III college football. I have multiple schools that are interested in me, but I would like to go play at the next level, and then I would like to major in sports management, and work on the, I want to be in pro football, but not just on the playing side. I would like to be on the business side, deal with, marketing and players and contracts and stuff like that.
I remember I used to engineer live broadcasts. We had, at the time, WBEN had One-on-One Sports, and we had the John Butler Show, former general manager, God rest his soul, of the Buffalo Bills. We're talking back in the heyday of the Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. And I told him I wanted to get into scouting. His advice to me was start coaching, mm-hmm. and that's when I started coaching youth football. So you're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I'd like to come back to whatever school I go to, be a GA, and get on the coaching staff there, and then work my way up from there.
All right. Social media, YouTube, video games, or television?
I'd say video games. The only television I really watch is ESPN, and if the Bills or Sabres are on. But I play a lot of, you know, Madden, but I'm kind of a Star Wars nerd, so I play a lot of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I got to go see it. But have you seen it yet?
Yes, I've seen it.
All right,
it,
don't,
yes.
don't say anything. Spoilers, I can't wait.
Yeah. Raj.
Tony, I want to digress for a moment. I should have done it under news and notes and all that. I just want to say I was deeply saddened about the passing of former Buffalo Bill Albert DeBenyon.
Golden Wheels.
My God, he was the original hero on that team.
One of my dad's favorite players, and I remember as a little kid, that's all I would hear about was Golden Wheels DeBenyon.
He had bad hands that first year, and he worked on them. I mean, if you saw the notice in the paper, I think he has the fourth highest all-time average yards per catch in a season, probably in 1963, maybe 64, but... John Green was a backup quarterback, and he said his hands aren't very good, but this man has some golden wheels because he could pick them up and lay them down with the best of them.
Coach Harper, Coach Bottomer, Coach Payne, thank you guys for bringing the players in. Congratulations once again on a fantastic season. State champions once again. Back to work pretty soon on next year.
Thanks for having us. Go Wolfpack.
There you go. All right. Sports Talk Saturday is up next. Thank you for listening. Have a happy new year, everyone.